God and you do a good job of it, it clouds up in the house and it rains. What goes up determines what comes down. Well, praise the Lord. And your Holy Ghost experience expands and fills the room and touches everything that's hungry. There has to be a component of hunger in the heart of that one that's seeking. But I'll tell you, it's not easy to get the Holy Ghost in something that's dead and dull and dry and plucked up by the roots. That's right. Psalms 101, and we'll see how far we can get with this tonight. I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O, when will thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave unto me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. And him that hath a high look and a proud heart will I not suffer. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, and that they may dwell with me, and he that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house, and he that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all wicked doers from the city of the Lord. God bless you. You can be seated. Let's give him praise and thanks tonight. Let's bless his name for all of his goodness and the goodness of his word. We praise you, mighty God. We bless you and we thank you for your word that is forever settled in the heavens. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, to simply reference Psalms 1, would you say, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in it doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Praise God. Does anybody want to be in that definition tonight? Does anybody want to be the man blessed or the woman blessed of God? All your fruit's going to come forth. Your branch is not going to wither. And whatever you do is going to prosper because you're planted by the rivers of water. You have a tremendous and a perpetual sustenance. But this is like everything else in a covenant relationship. This is contingent upon some behaviors. And in this behavior, he doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He doesn't stand in the way of sinners. And he doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. Rather, he insulates himself and separates himself from those things that are not like God. Praise the Lord. Now, I'll take this one step further with you. This is David, and Jews and Gentiles did not mix. So he's not talking about Moabites or Philistines or Canaanites. He wasn't talking about heathen. He was talking about folks that it would be legal or possible for him to fellowship within the framework of the people of God. And so he's talking about some of God's people that are scornful or sinners or ungodly. And he said, I'm not going to be a part of that. I've made a decision. I'm going to serve God. And an incision is when you get cut and they go in. A decision is when you cut off other possibilities. And if you're going to live for God, you've got to make a decision about cutting some things off in your life. And you need to understand the dynamics of the spirit. You were created to be a vessel to contain, or a house to contain, the Spirit of God. You are in essence, or in your essence, even though we're far from the garden and we've fallen a million miles, we were made to be spiritual beings, and you are essentially spiritual. So you're very, very subject to, and you're very sensitive to, things of the Spirit. And it is very, very clear in just anecdotal situations that birds of a feather flock together. And that who you hang with can make a tremendous difference in the way you think, the way you see, the way you feel, the way you speak. And so it seems a given and an easy thing to understand that we would, as we begin our journey of living for God, that we would understand spiritual dynamics, and we would know that what God has given me is pure and holy and wonderful and life-giving and powerful. And it should be in my thinking that I would like to maintain that experience. And I'd like to feed that experience. And I don't want to pollute that experience any more than I would want somebody polluting my drinking water. Praise God. Praise God. If some of you, if you live in an old, old house, I was raised in an old, old house. If you live in an old house with black iron pipes, it would shock you to pull some of that piping loose and look at what's on the inside of there. And if you were raised out in the country and you had a well and you had a big holding tank, a big reservoir, it'd shock you to look in that little round hole on top and see what's down inside that thing. And some of you, you wouldn't want to drink there anymore. But there's a fascination with things that are out on the edge of godly living, especially for our young people. There's a fascination with people who know worldly phrases and worldly ideology, and they know the lyrics to the songs, and they know the latest things that are coming out of the hell that is called Hollywood. And there's a fascination with some of those things. But we're going to slow way down from Sunday night tonight, and we're going to talk about this business of separation as it is given to us here in Psalms 101. I want you to understand that the Word of God is full of teaching on love, and God is love, and God is a God of restoration. And so we are open to love everybody, and we are open to restore everybody. And so to begin with, I want to tell you, I want you to be restored if you've stumbled. And I want to love you if you've gone the way of the prodigal. But I've got a mandate from God that I've got to keep this experience right until he comes. And I know that you're fraternizing with spirits that will touch me in places that I don't want to be touched, in my mind and my spirit and my heart. And so if you are full of those worldly things and those negative things and those carnal things and those ungodly things, I'm going to put you at a distance, and I'm going to keep you there. Not going to be your bosom buddy. Well, praise God. So that's the skinny on it. I guess we could just go home, but we've got these other kids over there in class, so we'll just fill the time with something here. This is a psalm of David in the last book of the Psalms. And he says, I'll sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord. I'll sing. I'll behave myself wisely and in a perfect way. And when are you coming to me? I'll walk within my house with a perfect heart. Now he begins to say and to teach how you accomplish that. I know you want to be ready when God comes. And I know you want to please God and live in a very mature and a fulfilling way in the kingdom of God. But now David begins to tell us how you accomplish that. The first thing he says is, I'm not going to set a television in front of my face. Well, isn't that what it says? I will set no television. Oh, I'm sorry. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. Nothing with, come on now, you believe in adultery? No. You believe in fornication? No. You believe in all the lying and backstabbing and killing that goes? No. You believe in running around with other people's wives? No. Then it's not fit entertainment for you. So you need to take it out tonight and shoot it. Put it, give it a merciful death. Praise God. If you want to behave yourself wisely, if you want to be ready when he comes, if you want to have a perfect heart, if you want to be able to sing of mercy and judgment, you can't fill your life with garbage. That's the teaching here. And he said, I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave unto me. David's made up his mind. He said, I'm living for God, and I'm not going to let that get on me. He might be my former best friend, but I can't hang with him. Might be my sister, might be my brother, might be my daddy, may be my mama, but I can't hang with them if they've got an old ungodly attitude. Praise God. It won't cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me. He said, I'm going to get them out of my life. I will not know a wicked person. He said, I'm not going to have wicked people in my list of friends. Verse 5, whoso privily slanders his neighbor, him will I cut off. You want to talk to somebody about a brother or sister in the Lord? Go talk to somebody else. You're not going to talk to me about them. You're not going to run people down to me. I'm not going to listen to it. If you want to be perfect and you want to be pleasing to God and you want to serve God, you've got to cut that off from your life. This is a decision that you make. You say, well, they're my friends. Well, they're not the right kind of friends. You're not heading in the same direction. Okay, it's just a Bible study. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, I'll cut off. Him that hath an high look and a proud heart, I will not suffer. Can't stand that arrogance. My eyes will be upon the faithful. You want to target somebody that's doing this right, and that they may dwell with me. I want those to be in my circle of friends and family and activity. And he that walketh in a perfect, when I'm not, this is not a diatribe against evangelism. We're going to be evangelistic. But when it comes down to choosing friends and who you're going to fellowship with, you've got to choose someone that's going to strengthen you or uphold the very tenets that you believe. Praise God. If you're a parent, you want to make those decisions for your children. If you're a husband, a father, you want to make those decisions for your household. Praise God. It's way too late in the dispensation to be putting up with a lot of spiritual foolishness. There are churches across America that are carnal and shallow, and they're not having revival, and they're full of all these things that David's describing right here, and we will not have the revival that's been prophesied, and we won't have the fulfillment of our expectations or our potential in the kingdom of God if we let these things come in among us. And we might as well just draw a line and say, we're going to be, I don't know how it's going to affect anybody, and I don't know if anybody's going to feel badly about it. Somebody might get hard feelings about it, but we're just going to take this Word of God thing seriously. It affects my social interaction, and not with the bartender and not with the drug dealer, but it affects who I socialize with, who I fellowship in the house of God. Now, this is not an obscure doctrine. And we're going to run over to the New Testament, and we're going to substantiate this with a few selections here. Romans chapter 16. Romans 16, and the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Peter, we'll hear from Jude, we'll hear from John, we hear from wide array of apostolic teachers concerning the same thing. Praise God. Praise God. It's excellent when you challenge carnal behavior in your peer group. It's excellent when you challenge wrong behavior or the wrong kind of talk in those that are in your social group. You owe it to them to stand up and say, listen to me, we're friends, but this is not fit conversation. You don't need to take part in that, because if you're passive about that, there's a spirit connected with it that will infiltrate your mind and your spirit. Romans 16, verses 17 and 18. Paul said, I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Mark them. They're bellyaching about holiness. Mark them and avoid them. They're bellyaching about the excitement of a Sunday night service. Mark them and avoid them. Cut them off. I've made a decision, and you're not going to be an anvil tied around my joy. You're not going to be a dark cloud on my sunshine of my experience in God. Not going to do it. And the word of God tells me, make a mark on them and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. If you go along with people like that and they influence you, the word of God says you're simple minded. Right. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Don't have to preach too much tonight. This is just all pretty much straightforward. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. It's reported commonly that there's fornication among you, and such fornication is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. So there's problems in this church in Corinth. And Paul is addressing the problems. In modern America, there's not much addressing of problems. But the word of God is intrusive and assertive. It'll come climbing down out of the pulpit and get right up in your pew with you and lay its hand on your life. Verse 9, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators. All right, young ladies, young men, if there are young people in this group that are out in the streets whoring around, you've got to cut them off. You got to, come on now, you got to cut them off. Wait a minute, how are they going to live for God? They know where the altar is. They know how to come back in. I'm not interested in them sitting on the back row. I want them to come into an altar. But you will win them. They will win you. That old sensual spirit has been destroying people ever since the garden. It'll get on you. You don't want to fellowship that. You don't want to fellowship that spirit that's talking about its sexual conquest. You don't want to fellowship that spirit that's talking about how hot the girls look and talking about their anatomy and talking about all kinds of vile and sensual things. You want to cut that off from your life. You want to say, excuse me, these are my sisters in the kingdom of God. These are people that belong to God. These are people that are trying to be righteous in the kingdom, and I'm not going to be a part of it, and I'm not going to listen to it. Come on, somebody stand up and be godly. Somebody stand up and be an advocate. Somebody stand up and say, no, you're going the wrong direction, and I will not go with you. Praise God. Do you love them? Yes, we love them. Can they get redemption? Yes, they can get redemption. Do we want them to be a part? Yes, we want them to be a part. But they've got to come in by the altar. You can't come into the kingdom socially. You can't come into the kingdom socially. You've got to come into the kingdom through the altar. Praise God. I'm just reading overt scripture. Don't company with them. Don't hang out with them. Yet not altogether with the fornicators of the world, or with covetous, or extortioners, or idolaters. For then you got to go out of the world. He's not talking about the world. He said if you were going to do that, you have to go find a cave somewhere. Because there's people in sin all around you. But he's talking about the church. He's talking about the church. He's talking about somebody that's flaunting their carnality in the church. He says we're not doing that. Cut them off. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or an railer or a drunkard or an extortioner. With such, don't sit down and eat. Don't go out to O'Charlie's and act like everything's okay. We're all, oh, praise God, we're all the same. We're not the same. Made some decisions to live for God. We're not the same. You've made some decisions to go back. I don't want to sit down and eat with the luggage that you bring to the table. Now, some of you are feeling that's hard. And some, I didn't write this. An apostle wrote this. Somebody that plants churches and raises up preachers and wants people to succeed living for God. Why did he write it? Because he knows you're susceptible to spirits. And he knows that this person, if they get relief by being socially acceptable, they can find a place to gravitate to where they will sit unchanged until the Lord comes. But he said, you got to make them choose. You've got to give them a choice. You want to fellowship godly people, you got to be godly. You want to fellowship the world, go fellowship the world. But you got to make a choice. Well, praise God. Paul said, for what have I to do with, what have I to do to judge them that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within. He said, we're not judging sinners. The sinners are outside the circle. We don't judge them. We don't even fool with them. Well, what about this one or that one? Did they go to heaven or did they go to hell? The Bible said we don't judge those that are without. God judges them. But we judge those that are within. They're inside the circle of the church. But them that are without, God judges. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Praise God. Now, in the book of 2 Corinthians, Paul has to tell them, look now, the guy's repented. Take him back in. He's going to choke. You're doing it too effectively. The guy, every door he'd knock on, they'd say, sorry. We're not alike. He'd call up for fellowship. They'd say, no, got stuff going on. So he came back to church and he was weeping. He was devastated. And Paul said, lighten up. You're killing him. He's ready to come back. He's ready to be right. You'll have to read that. We don't have time to go find it tonight. Praise God. Chapter 16, verse 22 in 1 Corinthians. I just want you to know this is a common doctrine in the Word of God. And you just, this is way too precious to get relaxed in the way, you know, and don't mask it under a mask of, well, we love everybody. Well, we do love everybody. But you know, when my mama loved me, sometimes she loved me with a belt. And the Word of God is very, very clear. He said, anybody that's going to be a son, anybody that God loves, he's going to chastise you. And if he doesn't chastise you, you're not a son, but you're a bastard. There's a hard side to this business of love. Whoa, what is that? That's love. What did God just do to me? He just loved you. Well, how many of you, your mama said, I'm only doing this because I love you. And she was, and it worked a good work in you. Look at you, you're still in the house of God tonight. Loving on you. 16 and 22. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. Maranatha. Anathema means cursed. Maranatha means God's coming back. So he just juxtaposes the two. Let him be a curse because God's coming back. You don't want to be fellowshipping that. Well, wait. Shouldn't we go after him? Shouldn't we go fishing with him? Shouldn't we have him over? And well, it depends on who you're talking about. If you're talking about the sinner outside, yeah. Doors wide open. They're not a part of the church. They're not going back with velocity and an effect to touch you and impact you or your family or these children. Praise God. But the 15th chapter of Luke is the template for how to deal with backsliders. If it's a lost sheep, just an innocent sheep that just worked too much overtime or had too much sickness in the family or stuff going on in the house and just one clump after another, and before it's over, it's nightfall, and he's way separated from the church, and the shepherd goes and finds him and puts him on his shoulder and brings him back because it wasn't hostile and it wasn't rebellious. It was just ignorance and innocence and wandered away. And you go after those. Everybody say you go after those. Yeah, and the coin that was in the house, the coin that was in the house was cold and hard, and it was in the house. It was still faithful coming to church, and I've seen this guy, and I've seen this gal. Faithful, would never miss church, always there, but working too many hours and so much going on at home and not engaged in a fluid experience with God and prayer and the Word of God. And little by little, hardness creeps in and coldness creeps in. And you've got the ritualistic attendance at church down, but you're sitting on a pew, and before you know it, things are just bouncing off and you're dead and you don't even know why you're there. It's like the joy has run out of your boot. And you don't know why you're there, and you don't know what it all means anymore. And you're just like the coin in the story in Luke 15. The woman, though, is not content to let the coin lie lost in the house, but she lights a light and she gets her broom. And that's the intrusive, assertive Word of God that gets up in your life and looks for the dirt and shines the light of the Holy Ghost in the Word of God and comes after you. And she says, aha, here it is. The woman finds the coin. And so we go after the dumb sheep that just, for whatever reason, loses its way. And we go after the hard-hearted, cold one that's still coming to the house of God. But when the prodigal says, give me my stuff, I'm leaving. Don't want to do this anymore. We don't go after him. The father doesn't go to the pig pen. Because something has to happen in the heart and in the mind. The climactic point of that story is the phrase, and he came to himself. Because until he or she comes to themselves, you can't touch them. You can go down in the hog pen and say, oh, I love you. Come on, let's go back to the house of God. And they'll cry with you and they'll talk with you. And then when you get back, all you'll have done is gotten hog slop all over you. And you'll smell like a hog. And people will be like, something's on you. Or you'll take up their offense. And then the Bible says you got a dog by the ears. Now who's got who? Who has whom? Because you can't let him go. All kind of interesting things happen when you start fraternizing with backsliders. Because it's not just a bad attitude, it's a spirit. It's not just vile sensuality, it's a spirit. It's not just that they lie like they breathe, it's a spirit. And you are a spiritual creature, and it will touch you, and it does matter. Paul says, let them be anathema. Cursed. And remember, the Lord's coming. Praise God. This is not hard. We don't hate anybody. We love everybody. We want to see everybody living for God. Praise God. But we don't do them any good by coddling them when they're in a place of open rebellion. Okay, my. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. It's just a diatribe on separation. But we'll make a run through here. 2 Corinthians 6, 14. Everyone say, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And listen, that's a little broader than you might think, because they might be a child of God, but they might not believe in holiness. Might be a child of God, but they might not believe in the authority of the ministry. They might be a child of God, but they might not believe in certain facets and major planks of the Word of God. Don't be unequally yoked together with him. Righteousness and unrighteousness doesn't have fellowship. Light and darkness doesn't have communion. Verse 15, Christ and Belial don't have concord. He that believes doesn't have a part with an infidel. Verse 16, he that believes in God or is the temple of God does not have agreement with idols. He said, you are the temple of the living God. Everybody say, if you've got the Holy Ghost and you're living for God, would you say, I am the temple of the living God? Say, God said, God said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I'll be their God. They shall be my people. Listen, you understand you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. You can't just take the temple of God into any kind of atmosphere you want. You've got to take it into places that are constructs of the word of God. Praise God. Wherefore, verse 17, come out from among them and be ye separate. Got to separate yourself. In holiness, the whole discussion of holiness, there's a powerful component of separation. Don't touch the unclean thing and I will receive you. That's a contingency. You can't touch the unclean thing. And will be a father to you. You'll be my sons, my daughters, saith the Lord. Chapter 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let's cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. And that's just not your flesh and your spirit and the things that have come and touched you, but you need to get yourself in a position where you're not fraternizing with spirits that have the power to infiltrate your experience. Praise God. Does this make sense? Galatians chapter 1. I'm going really, really fast. Galatians chapter 1, beginning in verse 6. To the Galatians, Paul says, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you to the grace of Christ unto another gospel. These people have been tampered with, and they are leaving the primacy and the power of the gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you that would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Let me tell you something. The apostolics, I ought to let my wife testify tonight. The apostolics in the first century preached a message. It is recorded in the book of Acts. There is no other message. It was the message that was preached on the day of Pentecost, experienced in Samaria, Acts 8, experienced in the house of Cornelius, Acts chapter 10, experienced at Ephesus, Acts chapter 19. There is no other gospel. The gospel is the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You appropriate that to your life by repentance. Water baptism in Jesus' name and the infilling of the Holy Ghost, evidenced by speaking in other tongues. That's the only experience that anybody experienced in the book of Acts. Now, you can go out 300 years from there to the Roman church and embrace what they teach. Or you can go 1,500 years beyond the apostolic message to the Protestant church and you can embrace what they teach. But if you really want to be right with God and stand on the winning side when God returns, you better get your eyeballs in this word of God and find out what that first generation church believed and taught. Because Paul said, if they preach a gospel other than the one that's been delivered to you, let them be anathema. Let them be accursed. Well, praise God. Praise God. So Sister Sutton has this guy ask her, have you accepted the Lord as your personal Savior? And she said, no, and nobody did that in the Bible either. He said, no, I mean, have you opened up your heart and received Christ into your heart? She said, no, because nobody did that in the Bible either. I'll tell you what they did. They repented, they got baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins, and they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, evidenced by speaking in other tongues. Peter did not stand on the day of Pentecost and say, now repeat after me the sinner's prayer. Philip did not go into Samaria and say, now everybody open your heart and receive Jesus. That is not in the text of the word of God. What they did do in each of those occasions, they preached repentance, they preached water baptism, and they preached the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And it is the only gospel. Praise God. You say, well, that's hard. That's not hard. That's true. You say that's exclusive. It is. But it's the exclusivity of the word of God. Heaven's going to be a pretty exclusive place. Don't you want to go? Well, praise God. Paul just said, if somebody preaches something other than what we've delivered, let them be anathema. As we've said before, I tell you again now, if a man preach, verse 9, any other gospel to you, then that you've received, let him be accursed. Praise God. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5, and there's a laundry list in verses, some of these, attempting to speak in tongues. Now you laugh at that, but you're born again of the Spirit, and the scripture says you have not received a spirit of fear again unto bondage, but you've received a spirit of adoption by which we cry, Abba! Now, if you might have thought that Abba was some intelligible utterance in another language, but Abba is like, it's not even like Dada. It's kind of like what was happening right there. And I really do believe it's a reference to speaking in tongues. We get adopted and we start learning how to talk in the Spirit. There's a laundry list in chapter 5 of Ephesians and verses 1 through 4. You want to be God's dear children, walk in love. Verse 3, don't be fornicators, don't be unclean, don't be covetous. Verse 4, don't let it be named among the saints. Verse 4, don't be involved in filthiness or foolish talking or jesting. And you know, the ruin of a lot of good apostolic people and a lot of good apostolic churches is the kind of humor that they allow into their fellowship. This fellowship will not countenance sexual innuendo as jokes. That's not something to make fun of. Now, about 30% of you are clapping your hands, but I'm just telling you, it's not fit for God's people. It's like, how close to the actual deed can we get? Well, there's plenty to laugh about and plenty to talk about without getting into areas that are written on the walls of a junior high locker room. All you're revealing about yourself is you've never graduated from junior high school. You have a fascination with things sexual, and you have to let it be the core of your sense of humor. Well, God doesn't think it's funny. He said, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Man, I can't stand to be around these people. All they want to do is talk about church, and all they want to do is talk about God, and talk about the goodness of God, and talk about the blessings of God, and what all God is doing, and they're just not a part of the real world. You're getting it. You're getting it. You're beginning to understand. Ephesians 5, we'll start in verse 5. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, or covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ. This is important stuff because you can't make it into heaven with this stuff happening in your life. So you don't want it on you or coming in through your ears or your eyes. Verse 6, let no man deceive you with vain words, but because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Everybody say, don't be partakers with them. Praise God. You don't want to be a part of that. You don't want to be involved with that. Verse 11, would you say, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Just say, I don't think that's funny. Can you do that in a social setting? Can you just say, you know what? That's not funny. Now, I'm not talking about on the job with a bunch of sinners, because that's how they live. That's what they do. They think that's funny. They're not even on the same planet with you. But I'm talking about among the people of God. If you're among the people of God and it gets risque, just say, you know, that's not funny. And they start dogging one another. You say, that's not how we behave. That's not how we talk. Praise God. Praise God. We really ought to live and walk a higher standard. I am so distressed at carnal apostolic churches. Is that an oxymoron? Distressed at a carnal crowd of apostolics, and you can tell they sit in front of a television and listen to that insipid junk all their lives. They're full of it, and their children are full of it, and that's all that they can talk about. That's where their humor is anchored. This is not going to be a church like that. At least from this position, I hope somebody in the house agrees with that. Let me tell you, it's at the door, it's outside the walls, it's all around us every day. It wants nothing more than to slither into this place and take a place of preeminence in this house. But as far as this pulpit's concerned, I don't want a thing to do with it. Praise God. Now, some folks would think not, but you really can get the Holy Ghost in a service just like this. You can. You really can. Because God will honor his word. Bam! He'll pour out the Holy Ghost on you. You get it right now. Right there where you're sitting. I got to quit. It's like, which ones do we want to do? Praise God. I especially like, let's go to the back and work our way toward the front. 2 John chapter 1. A little message to the ecumenical crowd. Second John, verse 7 through 11. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abides not in the doctrine of Christ, he that abides in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. He's talking about the fact that you know that Jesus Christ was God Almighty. And if there come unto you any and bring not this doctrine, don't bring him into your house. And don't tell him, God bless you. Neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. If he's not right in the doctrine, don't be all kissy-kissy with him and say, oh, God bless you. You just need to say, God bless you with the right doctrine. But you don't need to say, God bless you, one, because the scripture overtly says it. But secondly, do you remember the story of Abram? When he is out beyond his years and God's told him that he can have an Isaac, but he wants to settle for an Ishmael. And he said, oh God, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, no, I'm going to give you Isaac. You're going to have Isaac and this is what's going to happen with him. But then he comes back and said, but I heard you and I'm going to really bless Ishmael. And I'm going to make 12 princes come out of him. And all the Arab trouble and all of the nonsense in the Middle East right now is because Abram produced an Ishmael and because Abram prayed a blessing on Ishmael. And you go to blessing, you've got the Spirit of God down in you and the name of Jesus on your life. You go to blessing somebody that's full of false doctrine and they're off doing things that are not like the Word of God. And you say, God bless you, and they'll be blessed. You don't know that? You don't want to be blessing things that are in error. Because that error will grow up and become a great, big, productive error. All right. I know this sounds hard, but we're right. Aren't we just reading the Word of God? If there's a collision or any friction here at all, it's because our world, our Christian, pseudo-quasi-Christian world, is so soft around the edges. And they want everybody to get together and everybody to love one another and just sit around the big table of ecumenism and hold hands and sing kumbaya. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14 and 15. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. You better know what holiness is, because you can't see God without it. Looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. You know, this is specific to what I opened with, the fact that a root of bitterness can spring up and trouble you, and many be defiled. Well, how does that work? If bitterness springs up in you, how do many get defiled? Because spiritual bitterness is a force in and of itself, and when people come into the circle of its influence, they can be touched by it. And many can be defiled when one person gets bitter. Praise God. Have you ever run into somebody that was choking on bitterness, and it wasn't even their own, it was somebody else's bitterness? Because they stood and they listened to somebody run down a church or run down a preacher or run down the people of God, and they were so full of poison, by the time they were over, it was on the other person. And they repeated it as though they knew it as fact, and they didn't have any firsthand knowledge of it at all. But a spirit had just gotten on them. Let's stand together. I've about buried you as deep as I can bury you here. Why don't we come down around the altar? Be mad and don't say hey to anybody. And I hope you understand that that's not what this is about. Praise God. We could pursue this for another solid hour here and just read scripture. But what God's given us is precious. And it's rare, and it's sweet, it's life-giving, and I don't want to lose it. And if you don't actively keep it, you'll lose it. Praise God. Why don't you lay your hand on somebody or take somebody by the hand? And I want you to pray for your brother, your sister in the Lord tonight. Pray for them that they'll walk perfectly. That they'll set no wicked thing before their eyes. That they'll walk righteously, holy. Mighty God, give them everything they need to serve you well and to please you and to cause your name to be magnified. Hallelujah. 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 While you're praying for him, let that Holy Ghost pray. Praise God. Praise God. Could you just give a good shout and praise unto God right now? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. Praise God. All right, take somebody by the hand, look them in deep in the eye, and say, I won't turn back. God's given me the Holy Ghost, and I'm going to keep it holy. God's given me a new life, and I'm going to keep it new and shiny and full of good things. Praise God. Come on, say, God's given me a promise, and I'm going to live out the promise of God.
I won't turn back.
Sing it with us. Praise God. God bless you. Good to see you in the house on a Wednesday night. Friday night's full of good things, and you want to be sure to get some flyers off the table there. Saturday night, we're going to have a time around here with Brother Keith Clark. And then Sunday morning and Sunday night, you need to invite everybody you see to the house of God. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Sure they're lined up. When they baptize 20 or 30. I hope so. All right. Good, good.